Today is Saturday, the 19th of August 2023, and we are gathered here for the 95th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusalatero, who is representing Nisaranamane Forest Monastery, participating in today's session. And I would also like to welcome all of you who are joining through this Zoom session and also through the live stream over the web page of the Satipatthana Foundation over Facebook. So we would commence the program initially with in-session practice, and then we will move on to the topic on mindfulness today, which is become an alchemist, and then we will move on to the question and answer session where we present the reports received for today's session and also raise the floor for any verbal questions or statements on mindfulness practice from you. So with that, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to commence with the in-session practice to commence session proceedings. Over to Bhante. Many thanks, Bhante.
Thanks, Namanta. Good day, everyone. So today we can do a sitting session. For this, you have to make sure that you are seated comfortably. Adjust your seat. Once you are comfortable in your seating, you can close your eyes gently and simply be aware. You are seated in a comfortable manner and you are aware. Try to notice what is happening in the present moment. When you pay attention like this, you might notice certain sensations in your body. Some of you might feel the breathing in your body. Some of you might feel your seated posture. Calmly notice what you feel in this body. Time to time, surrounding sounds might come. Time to time, various thoughts, ideas might appear. When these things come, you don't have to rush back to your body again. Instead, simply notice that your attention is with a thought, or that your attention is with a sound. With that awareness, take a moment to see what is happening to this thought, or what is happening to this sound. When you patiently wait for a while, you realize naturally your attention returns to the body. Although it returns, again various sounds, thoughts appear. But if you wait patiently, they too will disappear, and your attention would return back to your body. You try not to rush your attention back to the body, but allow it to naturally return. If you wait patiently, your attention naturally returns to the body, the bodily sensations. Now, as a group, let's take a few minutes to experiment with this practice. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. So that's just few minutes of mindful sitting, just to give you an idea. With that, Namante, you can take over.
Thank you, Bhante. Much merits. And it's always good to do this session during do this in session practice during the program. And I thank Bhante, and we appreciate this help from Bhante. Next, we have the talk on mindfulness based on the topic "Become an Alchemist." And I would, with much respect, invite Bhante to commence with the talk for today. Over to Bhante again. Thank you.
Okay, everyone, let's take some time to discuss today's topic as usual. Now, today we are having a new topic. Today we plan to discuss a new topic, which is become an alchemist. Now, when we think about or talk about this topic, first we have to get some information about the alchemy as well. Now, in alchemy, there's this procedure, or there's this trick to turn base metal into gold. That is, that's one of the tricks of an alchemist. They take the base metal, which is usually lead, and they turn it into gold. With some magic, with some trick, they do it. So this week's topic, we are suggesting that become an alchemist. So what's the idea behind this? What are we planning to discuss? Now, in our life, we have to face difficult situations. Sometimes troubles come. Sometimes people who are a part of our life, they pass away. So these difficulties we have to face in life. These troubles come. When they come, usually we cry, we scream, we try to escape the reality. That is how we do, right? But when it comes to this practice, we suggest that you can turn this suffering into enlightenment. That's the idea. So if you take an alchemist, he's turning a base metal, a metal which is useless, into gold. Similarly, in your life, you can turn suffering into realization or into peace. So that's the idea that we plan to give today. Now, when we think about our life, of course, we have so many troubles. You don't have to go and look for them. Instead, in your own life, you may have certain difficulties, troubles. Some situations are so difficult. So these things naturally come to us. When they come to us, we try to escape. We try to think why this thing happened to me. That's the question most of you ask. You ask, why me? That's the question. Right? But when we think about this practice, when we view these things from the point of view of practice, actually we can use such situations to find realization. Or we can use suffering to find peace in our life. So that's the idea. Let's say when we are mindful, when we are practicing mindfulness, we say be comfortable in your walking posture. Just walk in a comfortable manner and try to enjoy it. Then be comfortable in your sitting posture. Sit in a comfortable manner and try to enjoy it. That's the idea about walking and sitting meditation. We don't try to do much. Instead, we try to appreciate the walking posture. We try to appreciate that we are sitting. this very appreciation is the practice that we are doing. So when you do this again and again, you realize you have been walking for a long time. You have been sitting for a long time, but you haven't appreciated the walking process or the sitting process. Usually we walk to reach a destination. We walk to reach to a person. That's how we walk. But now, instead of the destination, we try to appreciate the journey. That is the very idea of the practice. Let's say, even the sitting practice, we try to appreciate the journey. Usually, when you are seated, you are seated for a purpose. Maybe you want to complete some work. Maybe you are waiting for somebody. In such situations, you sit. But in the practice, we try to sit in a comfortable manner and we try to appreciate that we are seated. We try to appreciate the journey instead of the destination. So that is the very practice that we are doing as sitting and walking meditation. Even in our day-to-day life, we try to appreciate whatever the task that we are doing. We try to enjoy these menial tasks that are in our life. Let's say brushing your teeth, eating your meals, drinking something, washing your clothes, various activities you do. So instead of thinking about something else while doing them, we try to appreciate each and every activity. We try to enjoy each and every activity. So this is the very idea of mindful sitting, walking, and day-to-day practice. Now, when we introduce mindfulness, we say, be like a cat. When you think about a cat, the cat is walking and it is enjoying the walking. When the cat is sitting, you can see it is even blissful to watch. It is sitting so comfortably, appreciating whatever the posture that the cat is in. So similarly, we say in our mindful lesson, we say be like a cat. Enjoy that you are walking. Enjoy that you are sitting. So that's the very idea of the practice. You can easily do it. Every day you reserve some time. Let's say 20-30 minutes of mindful sitting, 20-30 minutes of mindful walking. Every day you try to do. You don't have to do much. Instead, you enjoy the walking process. You try to enjoy that you are walking for a while. You try to enjoy that you are sitting for a while. This is the very practice we do. And when we practice for a while, you realize sometimes various thoughts, sounds, various disturbances, they come. If you pay attention to the present moment, it is not always present. It is not always pleasant. Usually, you feel difficulties in your body. Sometimes pain, aches are there. Sometimes various difficult thoughts, memories come. So it is natural that you are not comfortable in the sitting posture or you are not comfortable in the walking posture. So although these difficulties come, we suggest that you continue with your practice. When these difficulties come, the usual complaint is that your mindfulness is broken due to the sounds, due to the thoughts, due to the various other pains, aches. Your mindfulness is broken. That's what the usual complaint is. But we say, instead of thinking that it's a disturbance, it's a trouble, try to see how can you maintain mindfulness among these thoughts? How can you maintain mindfulness among the sounds? How can you continue with mindfulness among various difficulties in your body? That is the very practice that we are doing. For a beginner, it is difficult. The beginners, they complain. They say, due to the sounds, they can't be mindful. Due to the thoughts, they can't be mindful. That's the usual complaint that we get from a beginner. But again and again, we have to encourage them, suggesting, although the sounds come, you don't have to worry much. Although the thoughts come, you don't have to worry. Instead, try and see whether you can be mindful among these sounds, whether you can be mindful among these thoughts. That's the idea we are giving. And when we, again and again, when we do the practice, we realize now you are growing and strength to be mindful among the sounds. Although the sounds come, you don't have that usual complaint. You don't say, due to the sounds, your mindfulness is broken. The thoughts come, but you are not complaining. Again and again, among these things, you are able to be mindful. So that's the very root of this practice. We say, when the troubles come, you don't have to escape them. You don't have to complain about them. Instead, you can use them to strengthen your mindfulness. When the thoughts come, it's an opportunity for you to grow your mindfulness. When the sounds come, it's an opportunity for you to grow your skill. So this way, you have to practice. Now you can see, as the starting point, we take these difficulties. The difficulties that come as sounds, the difficulties that come as bodily aches, pains, the difficulties that come as thoughts. We take them and we try to use them as well for the practice. Your practice is really growing when you try to develop this skill. How can I be mindful among the thoughts? How can I be mindful among the sounds? How can I be mindful among the pains and aches of this body? When you use such opportunities, you realize, due to the sounds, due to the thoughts, you are strengthening your mindfulness. In a way, these troubles become fuel for your practice. Now, even today, during our sitting practice, we try to use the sounds, the thoughts, as fuel for our practice. Our suggestion was just to let the thoughts be and be mindful that your attention is with the thought. Be mindful that your attention is with the sound. Be mindful that your attention is with bodily aches, pains. With that awareness, if you wait patiently, then you realize your attention naturally returns back to the body or the breath. Again and again, sounds come. Again and again, thoughts appear. Again and again, various bodily aches, pains might come. But you can use these things as fuel for your practice. You can use these things to grow your mindfulness. So that's the very beginning of this idea. We say, turn the suffering into the realization, into the enlightenment. So if you want to do it, then you have to start here. When these small troubles, these tiny troubles come, you can see the thoughts come, the aches, pains appear, then the sounds from the surrounding come. When these tiny troubles come, you try to use them in your practice. you try to develop your practice by using these troubles as fuel. So that's what we are doing. And when you use them like that, then you realize that the practice is growing. Usually, if your attention is with the breath, without any disturbances, then we say that's not good because your practice is not growing. Your practice is not growing because the disturbances are not there. Your wisdom is not growing. The wisdom comes when the troubles are there. Among the troubles, if you know how to navigate your practice, then that is the real wisdom. That is where the real wisdom appears. So you can see when the thoughts come, that's an opportunity for you to develop insight or wisdom. When the sounds, various difficulties come, that's an opportunity for you to develop insight. So that way, you are growing yourself. Naturally, little by little, you try to grow your practice. Now, there was this person who is a meditator here, and he was saying while the walking meditation, Bhante, I could notice that my mind is doing a preaching. In the background, he is preaching to himself. As inner chatter, the mind is doing a preaching. It's giving a Dhamma talk. But I can see that my body is walking. I can feel the steps. So he was saying that this is more like the earlier programming that I have done. For the sake of Dhamma, he has done that programming. Initially, it helped. You need certain information to start your practice. But later you realize, due to the earlier programming, now the various things come. These Dhamma talks appear in my mind. As inner chatter, I am preaching Dhamma. So still, I can know that my body is walking. I can feel that my body is walking. So that way, you are developing insight. You know that this is earlier programming. You know that this was useful earlier. It was useful. But now, you don't have to worry about it much. Now you don't need it anymore. The programming that you have done for the sake of Dhamma, still now you don't need it. Now you know how to practice. The preaching is there, the inner chatter is there, but you can know that your body is walking. You can continue with your practice. So you see, these are opportunities for you to grow. And somebody else, he was saying, I read these things in a book. I was reading about the practice a lot. When I was reading, it was much easier. I could sit still for a long time and I read the book comfortably. I know I get more and more information about the practice. But now I am practicing. Earlier I was reading. Now I am truly practicing. Now when I am practicing, Bhante, I can't even sit. Earlier I used to sit fine for hours. Now my back is aching, paining. I can't even sit in meditation. He's saying that the reading about the practice is much easier. Actually doing it is much difficult. That was his idea. So this is true. Reading about the practice, it's easier. Written in the books. But when you actually try to do it, you realize it is much different. It is much difficult. The words you read, the practice is not like that. And although it was said much easily, when you actually do it, the practice is much more difficult. The body is aching, paining, you can't sit comfortably, your back is paining, you can't even walk comfortably, all these troubles come. But when they come, you are growing in the practice. Among these troubles, you know how to continue with your practice. So you get wisdom due to these troubles, due to these difficulties. So that's how you can really grow in the practice. That's why we say you can use these troubles to grow your practice. That's why in today's topic, we are saying we can become an alchemist. Try to turn suffering into realization. So that's the idea that we want to give. Now let's say you are somewhat matured in your practice. When you function in your day-to-day life, so many opportunities are there. The opportunities for you to grow your practice. Because various people, they come and blame you. Sometimes they blame you for no reason. Some people, they come and praise you. Sometimes various difficulties, troubles come. Various things happen. Certain things are happening. So when they come, when these troubles are there, although the situation is not easy, you can use those situations as fuel for the practice. Let's say when someone is blaming you, instead of paying attention to the words, paying attention to the situation, you can watch your own mind. You can notice how the anger is arising, how your mind is finding fault with the words of the other person. So you can see these things, these occasions, they are opportunities for you to practice. Instead of trying to fight with that other person, you can simply watch yourself. Notice how you are trying to fight this person. Notice how the anger is arising. Notice how the mind is all over the place. So that way, such opportunities can be used as fuel for your practice. So you can see these things. We don't like to face these situations. We would rather avoid them if possible. But they happen. Certain people come. When they come, when these things happen, you can really use them for the practice. You can see how my mind is reacting when somebody is criticizing me. Let's say someone is coming and praising you. When someone is praising, usually we get happy. We are lost in those words. We prefer enjoying those words. We think that this person is kind. This person is a good person. All those thoughts, ideas come. But that too, an opportunity for you to continue your practice. You can see how I am getting lost in these pleasant words. This person is talking appreciative of me. And due to that, I am getting lost in these words. That's how it is. And usually, some people, they flatter you. The flattery is used to deceive you. That's the very idea of the flattery. Usually, compliment, you can feel, you can know that this is a compliment. This is a well-deserved compliment. But when it comes to flattery, you usually get confused. Is this person is talking about me or somebody else? Have I really done this? Or this person is talking about somebody else? That question, that doubt might arise. Usually the flattery, they have a hidden agenda. a hidden purpose. So if you are not mindful, you might get caught in the situation. So you can see, although somebody is praising you, you can't forget about the practice. When such situations come, you can really be mindful and see how you can develop wisdom during such situations. Let's say somebody that is close to you, maybe that person got sick, or maybe that person passed away. So that's some extreme levels of suffering that we are talking. Again and again, you think about that person. Again and again, the past memories come. So every time when these memories come, you suffer. You feel like you are reliving the old situation. You are reliving the funeral. Every time you face these thoughts, every time you face these images, you feel the same pain that you went through. Right? So these situations, although they are not so frequent, time to time we have to face them. And when they come, you start to really suffer. You try to avoid these situations. You don't know how to manage them, how to go through them. So when such difficulties, such extremes come, they too could be fuel for our practice. You can see that this is the real suffering that we are talking about. This is the suffering that in this life, in this human life, you get such situations. And when they come, it is really difficult. Now we can't say be mindful. Now we can't simply say mindfulness, because during such situations, it is really difficult and sometimes you forget the entire thing. Still, it's natural. But with time, if you somehow manage these situations, maybe a few days, somehow you survive. Somehow you go through. And when you do it, you realize with time, you can really use the practice to recover much faster. These thoughts, you can't suppress them. Instead, you have to allow them to release. In a way, it's a catharsis that's going in your mind. Every time these thoughts come, it is wearing off a little. Just a little bit. It's wearing off. So again and again they come. Till the energy is there, they come. Till you fully accept these thoughts, they come. So that's how these extreme situations should be handled. These thoughts are there. These difficulties are there. You can't suppress them. Instead, you have to allow these thoughts to come and go. You have to allow this healing process to happen. So maybe during the situation, somehow you can manage. But with time, you realize again and again these thoughts, incidents, they come into your memory. When they come, you can really use this practice to overcome these troubles, these thoughts, memories. You have to allow the healing process to happen. I must say, the process is not easy. Every time you feel hurt, every time you feel like crying, but again and again, you can't suppress them. You have to allow them to come and go. You have to allow this healing process to happen. If you feel like crying, you can cry. If you feel like not doing anything, just sitting, you can do it. Somehow, you have to accept these things. Somehow, you have to allow this healing process to happen. Otherwise, you keep avoiding, suppressing these thoughts, and they are there. Although you avoid, they won't go anywhere. They'll be there. So someday, you have to face them. Although these things are difficult, You have to face them. That's how you can really grow. So that's why we say the suffering, you can turn it into realization. You can see how your own mind is creating suffering again and again. How your own mind is making this situation really hurtful. How your own mind is bringing these historical thoughts, memories again and again and creating suffering in your mind. So these things are opportunities. They are experiences. Again and again, you try to face them with the sake of the practice. And when you face them, you realize with time, these things too, they disappear. But it might take some time. You might need some courage to face such thoughts, memories. Now, there was this meditator a few days ago, and he was saying about such a situation. He was saying some of the darkest moments in his life, they are appearing during the meditation. So he was complaining that due to these thoughts, due to these dark memories, situations, he can't practice. Naturally, his attention goes to these thoughts, to these memories. So he was really suffering during the meditation because these thoughts, memories appear. So he was asking for a solution. How can I get rid of these thoughts? How can I get rid of these memories? That was his question. So do I have some kind of a magic trick? No. Is there any solution, fast solution or fix that we can suggest? No. Instead, he has to somehow face these thoughts, memories. Although they are the darkest things happened in his life, he has to somehow develop the courage and face them. When he faced them, then more and more acceptance is there. More and more, it'll be okay to be with these thoughts, memories. You see, more you accept, the easier it becomes. If you are suppressing them, then the pain is the same. Suffering is the same. But if you accept them, if you accept them for who they are, you know that these thoughts are there. You know you had to go through these difficulties. You accept them. When you accept them, you realize the suffering is reducing. You become more and more comfortable dealing with them. So that's the idea. That's how you can really turn the suffering into the realization. Otherwise, you are always avoiding. You are having a baggage in you, always feeling this baggage, all the difficult things, unnecessary things, you try to put them into this baggage. But one day you have to face the reality. You have to somehow know, I have a huge baggage. Due to this baggage, I am dragging myself. I can't even move forward because the baggage is so heavy. But with the strength, with the practice, you can gradually develop. You try to release this baggage. Every day when you meditate, you are emptying this baggage. That's what you are doing. Although the meditation session is difficult, afterwards you feel much better. That's the real process. So little by little, when the baggage is emptied, when the weight is reduced, you feel much more comfortable dealing with your day-to-day life. Even the body becomes lighter. Earlier, the walking process, just walking in your day-to-day life, it was very difficult because the body is very heavy. But when you practice, when you meditate, even the physical body, it becomes lighter. you feel you are moving through days with much less friction. The friction is not high. You are energy efficient. You are doing things, you are functioning, but you feel the friction is much lower. So these things are signs that you are releasing your baggage. You are emptying your baggage. Maybe the baggage, it has been piling up for a lifetime, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. We don't know for how long, but now it is releasing. Sometimes for no reason, you feel pain inside your body. Only during the meditation you feel. When you are doing your things and doing your daily activities, you are fine. As soon as you sit in meditation, you feel this extreme pain in your body. Maybe it's a physical pain, maybe it's a psychological pain. You never know. And as soon as you get up from meditation, again, you are fine. So only during the meditation, you feel this. So these things are more like psychological wounds that are in our mind. So you have to somehow face them. Probably not within a day. Again and again, you do your sitting. You grow your courage. Little by little, you face them. Every time you meditate, although the session might not be pleasant, when you get up, when you do your session, you feel much better. You feel lighter. So that's the idea. That way you can continue with your practice. That's the true practice, not some high state that you feel like you are drugged, not spending time in some heavenly state. That's not the true meditation. This is the true meditation. Accepting your reality, becoming more and more aware of your reality. That is the true meditation. And when you do it, you realize this is becoming an alchemist. You are turning suffering into realization. You are turning troubles into realization. You are turning this garbage in your life into realization. So that's becoming an alchemist, like turning a base metal into gold. A useless base metal, you are turning it into gold. So that's the idea. Try and practice in your life so you can really become an alchemist.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much thanks to Bhante on this topic. And then I would like to invite Anupama to commence with the question and answer session, whereby we present the reports and also verbal questions to Bhante for today's session. I would share the screen for the introduction to the beginners.
Avasarai Bhante. Hello, everybody. Namanta, hope you can hear me clearly.
Yes, I can hear you. That's good.
Okay, thank you. So we will start off by introducing the Mindfulness for Beginners in English guide. Most of you are already aware of this. This is for the benefit to recap and also for anyone who is new. So first and foremost, we would like to point you towards some introductory videos on mindful walking and sitting practice. You can see the links on screen. Namanta will be posting the message to the chat as well, so you should be able to get the link for the mindful walking and mindful sitting. This will help you with your preparation in this process. The next point we would like to highlight is allocate a small time daily and start practicing mindfulness in terms of walking and sitting. And ideally, continue this training for a few days till you complete at least 2 hours of each practice in total. Once the 2 hours has been completed, you can write down your experience in a reflection report. You can either present this as a question or a statement. You can write your mindfulness training experience under the title of mindful walking and mindful sitting. You can describe what you felt while walking and sitting and what you recognized during these sessions in terms of your posture and mindfulness. You can also describe your prominent sensations while walking, such as the texture of the ground, any pressure points on the soles, and how the body was shifted from one leg to the other, etc. In sitting meditation, you can list prominent sensations such as the pressure point, incoming and outgoing breath at nostrils, and the rising and lowering of the abdomen, for example. Once this has been done, you can submit your report using either Google Form, which is on the screen, or by emailing it to beginnersnv@gmail.com. Finally, continue your mindfulness practice according to the advice given for you for your reports during the session. Bhante very kindly gives some very valuable points for you to take home, which will help yourself and all others attending the session. Thank you. So that is the end of the introduction. We will now move on to the reports. We have one report submitted for today, which I shall begin. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and adjusted the position. Initial body scan highlighted the headache. When the breath appeared, it was prominent and felt around nostril. Notice the slight temperature difference between in and out breath. Attention soon moved to pain around forehead. There was an urge to return to the breath, but the mind hovered around the sensation in the forehead area. A throbbing sensation noted, which on close inspection rose and subsided so quickly. It felt like something was pressing down on the inside of forehead. Felt like heat was emitting from areas that were throbbing. Breath noted briefly, and attention returned to the sensations of pain. Then picked up the sensitivity felt in other areas, such as hands, fingers, ankles, toes, and parts of the face. It was a prominent sensation of pins and needles across. Mind focused on one of these sharp points, but couldn't isolate it as it disappeared speedily and had reappeared somewhere else close by. Mind continued to notice these sensations. Sat for 55 minutes. Pins and needles sensations continued for quite a while afterwards. Apologies about that. I've just lost this, the latter part of the report. We now move on to mindfulness during the day. Noticing that the ability to work through useful tasks in the day is improving. When requests for various things come, there is the ability to measure if the requests are useful to attend to or not. This helps with managing anxiety because decisions can be made with awareness instead of as a reaction. This hasn't worked all the time, but there is confidence to continue to practice in this way. Others are still continuing to say and do what they usually did, and there's less and less want in the mind to jump to conclusions or take offense. Watching these events as scenes on a screen is happening a bit more. Less energy is used in convincing others with one view or disagreeing with theirs. Mind feels freer and calmer in these moments. Again, this hasn't happened all the time, but it is becoming a new habit. Walking to the station on the way to work, the attention moved to the sensations of quick walking, feel of the wind on the face, temperature of the time of the day, feet pressing down in the shoes with feet movement, walking becoming slower in preparation to crossing the road, etc. were all noted. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and all the organizers. End of report.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Now, during your sitting session, you can see that the headache or the pain, such sensations are there. Now, although there's this urge to return to the breath, your mind kept roaming around in those painful sensations, right? So it is not okay to be there. You know that this pain is increasing. You know that it is changing. And it's okay to observe, but you know where your attention should be. That idea is there in your mind. That's why you are saying there was this urge to return to the breath. But mind kept wandering or roaming around the pain. That's fine. That's fine. You know where to go, but you are not going. In a way, you are lost, but you know that you are lost. So that's fine. And usually when such things come, it is natural that your mind goes to the pain. Again and again, it is changing, increasing, decreasing. The process is happening. So you have to allow it to happen. In a way, it's a healing process. So most people, they notice that before the meditation, you had this difficulty or a headache, let's say. But when you sit for meditation, probably like 30, 40 minutes, and when you get up, the headache is no longer there. Or let's say even you are sick. You have a cold or something. Then you sit in meditation. The body is aching, paining. You don't feel like sitting. But anyway, you do. And when you, although initially it is difficult, when you sit for like 20, 30 minutes, then you realize all the pains, difficulties, aches in your body, they disappear. They disappear. You feel like 20, 30, 40 minutes, you stay comfortably. Then again, you wake up. You get up from meditation. Again, you feel gradually the pains, aches, the difficulties in your body, they are appearing again. So you can see how the mind is relaxing in the meditation and how these physical illnesses, they are disappearing, or the pain is reducing. So it's a very good experience to go through. You know that the difficulty is there in the body, but in the meditation, you don't feel it anymore. Sometimes things like headaches, they disappear. They go away. If it is a illness like a cold, you feel much more comfortable in the meditation. But when you get up, gradually the symptoms come again. So these things are good experiences. You know how the meditation is helping. You know how it can change your body. Even it is painful, even there's an illness, you know how it is affecting and how the meditation is influencing these things. So these are good experiences to go through. The pain is difficult, I know. Most people, they prefer avoiding it. But you have to develop the courage and face them. We guarantee you that when you go through them, you realize the other end is much more comfortable. Usually, if you don't avoid pain, if you go through the pain, then the other end is much more comfortable. That's why sometimes even the headaches, they disappear. Sometimes even the illnesses, they disappear during the sitting session, again come back after getting up from the sitting session. So these things are good experiences. Certain things are there, they grab your attention, but you know where your attention should be. I like that part you mentioned, that there is this urge to return to the breath. You are not returning, but the urge is there. You know where the home is. You are lost, but you know you are lost. That very idea is okay. And when you grow confidence in your practice, you don't have to rush back to the breath. That was today's lesson. That's what we tried to practice during the sitting session. So we are not rushing. We know where our attention should be, but we are not rushing. So this is a skill that you are developing. That same skill will be applicable for your day-to-day life. Let's say 1001 requests are there. If you accept all of them, your 24 hours won't be enough. That's how the life is. So many people, they come and, you know, various requests are there. So although you acknowledge this request, accepting or not, it's up to you. Other people, they can't force them upon you. That's not the idea. Instead, they can make a request. You acknowledge their request. But it is up to you whether you give time or not. Whether you accept it or not, it's up to you. So you have to reflect before accepting. Make sure that this is worthwhile. If you feel like accepting after proper reflection, then of course you can do. If you don't feel like it, just let it be. You have a limited time. You have to make sure that you know your priorities. So you see, with the practice, you become more and more efficient. Same goes for the other idea that you mentioned. You know, convincing other people, fighting or disagreeing with them. Useless. Waste of time. Because they see the world, they perceive the world in a different way. No amount of information will convince them otherwise. Because they see the things in a different way. They perceive the world in a different way. So forget about convincing them. Forget about arguing with them. Instead, you know what's the proper thing to do. You know that this is a waste of time. So it's funny, in a way, it's funny to see. Take a back seat, you know, take third person's view and just watch two people arguing. One person, he is saying something. The other person, he is saying something else. Again and again, they are trying to prove their point. You are simply seated somewhere watching this argument. You are not a part of it. Instead, you have this third person view, just watching the argument. That's the very idea of the mindfulness practice as well. Earlier, you were among this fight. You were among this argument. Now, you are not taking a part of this. Instead, you sit comfortably and you watch as a third person. That's the very idea of the practice. So when two people argue, you can simply watch. One person is giving the facts. Okay, this is the truth. Other person is giving some other facts and saying, no, this is the truth. Again and again, it goes back and forth. So it's a fun task to watch them. See how the people are giving. See how they are trying to prove their point. One time I was watching an argument. One person was asking, where is the center of the world? The other one is saying, here, this is the center. He was pointing to the ground and saying, this is the center. Then another one is asking, how can you prove that this is the center? And the other person is saying, I have my own proof. I know that this is the center. So that argument went back and forth for like 10-15 minutes, right? It was so fun. I was watching seated somewhere. Then afterwards, they realized that I was watching. Now they turned towards me and asking, "Can which one is correct?" So I had a tea in front of me. I told them that it was even difficult to drink this tea. It was so troubling to make it. Even if I can't drink a tea, how can I answer such questions? So that was my excuse. Even having trouble drinking this cup of tea, how can I answer such difficult questions? So somehow I escaped, you know. So it was very fun to see how they are arguing, how they are trying to prove their point. So much energy is wasted. So much time is spent. So this is how the world works. Now you know. Now you don't have to, you know, argue with each and every person you meet. You don't have to prove your point. Instead, simply, there's a different path you can take. Sometimes they come with an argument. You don't agree. But you don't have to fight that person. Instead, you say, currently I can't make a decision. I have no information. I will come back to you. Or find some other excuse and go. Say that you have something to attend to and you are in a rush. So that way it's much more energy efficient. Much easier to deal with such situations. Otherwise, if you go face to face, head to head, then it's a never-ending process. It's like going head to head with a bull. They have so much energy, wasted energy. So if you keep fighting them, then it's not a good thing. So you can see your time is limited. Your energy is limited. The only way is to utilize them wisely. That's the idea. That's what we are learning in the practice. That is the very skill that we are developing. Our attention is limited. 1001 things, they are asking for our attention. Let's say in meditation, 1001 things asking for our attention. Thoughts come, they say, give the attention to us. Pain, aches, they come. They say, we are the priority. Sounds come. They say, something interesting happening in the surrounding. Bodily feelings come. They say, some other story. So all these things are there. They are asking for your attention. But you know, this attention is very precious. The attention is limited. You know where to give your attention. Who to trust with your attention. That is the very training. So that is applicable in your day-to-day life as well. You know what to do. You know where your attention should be. All the other things are there. They are like white noise. No need to pay attention. No need to spend much energy. Instead, you simply let them pass by while knowing your priorities, while knowing where you should give your attention. So that's the very training. You see how it is becoming applicable in your day-to-day life. How you can give attention to the necessary thing. So this is the practice. Thank you for sharing, and we encourage you to continue your practice.
Thank you, Dante, for that very valuable advice. In fact, we've received a second report as well now, so I will proceed to read that. Walking meditation. Watch lifted, moving and placing of and sensations on feet as primary object. After noting weight on feet, grip on soles when standing, started by making determination to walk for 2 hours. Initially, mind noted left and right feet on floor, and then the parts of feet touching floor, and then being lifted off floor, losing contact. Cold, heat, tingling, heaviness, lightness observed. When standing to turn, noted tingling all over body. Thoughts sometimes distracting briefly. Sounds heard, not distracting, walked 2 hours. Sitting meditation. Watching breath as primary object. After noting sitting position and body posture, mind went to breath. Initially, slow, shallow breaths in both nostrils and then more prominent on left. Soon, breath disappeared. Mind stayed at left nostril where breath was felt before. Mind went to pain in leg and then back to breath. The breath had reappeared. Mind calm. Noted wanting to finish meditation, although aware it was a short sitting. Opened eyes. Sitting 30 minutes. Daily mindfulness. During a long drive of 6 hours, made a determination at the start of the drive to watch the body movements whilst driving for a short period. This was done on a not so busy dual carriageway. Observe the sitting position, parts of body touching the seat, the backrest. Observed hands holding steering wheel, the hardness, pressure of wheel, softness of the hands, warmth of sun on arms, cooler areas with air conditioning. Noted the movements of eyes looking at rear view mirror and slight turn of head to look at side mirror and head being moved back to neutral position, as well as the eyes coming back to watching road and fatness. Observe fingers being extended and then contracting. When using indicator to move length and pressure on accelerator to increase speed and lifting foot to slow down. The stationary left foot noted to be adjusted slightly to make it more comfortable. Did this for about 30 minutes and did it on and off till traffic increased. A 6-hour drive with one brief stop was not too bad due to the mindfulness practice on the way. End of report.
Okay, so that's a good way of practice. Now you can see how the sitting or the walking, you think that you have to continue for 1 hour. Then sitting, you might feel halfway. You get bored and, you know, mind is suggesting to get up. So when you get up earlier, you can see sometimes you feel that it's not enough. Although you got up, you gave in to the thoughts, but sometimes you feel it wasn't enough. So that's fine. We learn a lesson. Sometimes our mind is creating some kind of urge and we give in. That's fine. Tomorrow it's another day. It's a fresh day. So you can see tomorrow sitting as well. Sometimes different. Reasoning is there to finish it shorter. Right? So that's how the mind works. We are not getting discouraged. We know that today I was caught in the thoughts. But tomorrow also some different reasoning is there. So that way we continue. Again and again we do. Repetitive practice we do. When you practice more and more, you realize you are developing this skill. Sometimes you get up earlier. Sometimes you stay longer. That's fine. That's the way of the practice. And even day-to-day things, when you are mindful, you realize you are not so tired anymore. When you are not mindful, it's like the stress is building up. As soon as you are mindful, it is released. That's the idea. That's the way of the mindfulness. So when you take a drive, it's okay to be mindful. Usually, when we drive, we are lost in so many things. The driving is there, then in the background, probably a radio or music, then somebody in the other seat to have a conversation. So all these things are happening while driving. So that's how we get exhausted, because so many things are there. So we are dividing our attention between so many things. But when you do this type of a practice, you realize so long path, probably a few hours of driving, but still you don't feel so tired. You only took a small break. You don't feel so tired because you are mindful. The pressure is not building. The stress is not building up. So that's the very idea. So this way you can continue with your practice. Try to see how the practice is helping. Again and again you have to do. That's how you get more and more information, more and more insight into the practice. So now you know that you feel less tired because you practiced. Otherwise you wouldn't know it. So same way you have to continue with the other activities. Try to pick certain things and try to see done in the usual way versus done mindfully, which one is better. So when it comes to stress, when it comes to energy, you become more and more energy efficient. You become less and less stressful due to the practice. So that's what we need. In this modern world, in this new age, we need these practices. Because so many people, they can't bear their stress. They can't handle this life. So they are turning into drugs. Some people, they survive out of medication. So various solutions they try to find. But if you know the practice, you know that this is the solution. So thank you for sharing. You may continue this way.
Thank you, Bhante, for that valuable advice. Our time is almost up for today's session. We do have time, however, for one question from the audience. If anybody has any queries, please raise your hand. Hi, Samantha. If you can unmute yourself, please, and ask your question. Thank you.
Thank you, Anupa, and thank you, Bhante. Thank you, my question. It was strange, actually, Bhante, today's session really resonated with something that actually happened to me just recently, a couple of days ago. Unexpectedly, a simple request ended up in an argument, and I got involved, and even I realized, well, with all my practice, I said, look, I'm going to be mindful, be aware of what's happening. And I kept saying that, and I've been aware of that. But however, because things happened, rolled very quickly, I reacted to the situation I faced with, and I felt justified in what I said. But on reflection, later on, I thought, oh, I shouldn't have said that, you know, some of it was okay, but some of it, you know, so I had a few regrets. So that was the situation. So when Bhante said, now, from the experience, you get insight and wisdom. So I was just wondering, so what was the wisdom or insight I gained from this experience? That's what I'm thinking now. And just to briefly explain, what happened during the last 2 days. So after the incident, I thought, oh, let me just calm myself down and try to focus on my meditation and everything. And even that, it didn't work. My friend, the breath, I couldn't stay focused on the breath because the intensity of the situation kept bringing to my mind. And so then I thought, I'll just see how I'm feeling, accept my situation. And then I just rode along with it, even though it took me a couple of days. And I gradually now, I realize things changed. And the mere fact that I accepted, my feeling was, okay, I said something wrong, but I'll learn from it, you know, but it was justified in reacting. And also I feel, you know, this is my higher am, I'm paining, hurting, etc. So I just rode along with it. And after 2 days, things just melted away. And I realized it just turned upside down and I was on top again. And I realized I was able to forgive and just move on and even have certain amount of method to the person. And, you know, later apologized not to the person, but another person involved, in the family and, you know, explained it. So it just got off my, you know, the situation changed my chest. And then, so I was just thinking the whole thing, now I'm okay and I'm feeling better for it for myself. And so what was the insight that I, is it correct for me to think that just accept and be patient when a situation happens and then move on when I'm ready? And now I can meditate as I was before. So I was just asking, so what would the correct insight that I would have gained from this be, Bhante? That's my question, sorry.
Okay, so answer is in your statement, the experience that you have gained from this, that's your insight. And now you know how to deal with such a situation in the future. I'm not saying you'll be 100% accurate in a future situation, but you have more experience now, right? Next time also you are making a fault, but still you are better off. So that's the very idea. Now, in your statement, you mentioned that the breath, your friend, you couldn't bring your attention to the breath because the situation was too troubling. You were agitated. Your mind was all over the place. So you couldn't bring your attention to the breath. So that's very true. When such troubling, difficult situations are there, we can't really say bring your attention to the breath. Of course, if you can, it's okay. But most of the time, you can't because the situation is too severe, right? So what you can do, you have to find a much more chorus way of practice. Maybe going for a run or something like that. Or maybe going out and taking a break. Some type of a solution you have to find. So that's how. That's why we have these smaller projects as well. You know, they are not really worthwhile, but we are spending, we are sweating. Some people, they like gardening. Some people, they like certain construction things. So whatever you like, the project is not important. What matters is that we can spend some time. We can sweat a little, right? So these things, they come in handy when you are faced with such situations, right? Exercising, you might have your own list. Some people do gardening, some people do dancing, whatever that you like, right? So you have to find such things in difficult situations. Otherwise, if you can bring your attention to the breath, of course, it's better. Most of the time, we can't because the situation is too severe. Right. So when such situations are there, you have to find more chorus ways of practice. So that's the idea. That's the idea. And you have in your own statement, you have the insights. Now you know how to deal with such a situation much better. That's the idea. Mm-hmm. Now in your statement, you also mentioned, although you knew that this is the way you should behave, you got lost in the moment. That's how it is, right? That's how it is. Even me, although I'm preaching, I too sometimes get lost in the moment. Sometimes unnecessary arguments, unnecessary things happen. But next day, it's a lesson for you. You learn something. You know that this is a difficult situation. Maybe I should avoid. Or this is a difficult situation that I got caught in last time. So that way, you gradually grow. You gradually grow. It's not done within a day or two. It's not done within a week or two. We have time. So that's the very idea of the practice. We continue. We learn from our mistakes. Next day, we are better prepared. So that's how we have to continue. Sometimes you get lost in the moment. sometimes the situation is too demanding that you get lost, right? So it's okay. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay that this thing happened, right? Now you know how to deal with such a situation much better. You can't go prepared. Let's say you are planning based on the information that you have in this situation. But next time, it will be a unique situation. It won't be a copy of this, right? So next time also, you are caught. So we can't plan for them. What we can do is that use the insight from this situation and only be mindful. Just be conscious and be prepared for whatever the situations that are coming. They are not giving us prior notice. We can't plan for such situations. Always a unique situation. In an unexpected time, it comes. So what you can do is you can be mindful, be conscious. That's the very preparation, nothing more. And you have your experience, you have your insight in the back of your mind, in the back end of your mind, right? When a situation comes, you are not thinking, you are not planning. Instead, you do based on your gut feeling. And you know, based on your past experiences, you have certain information in the back end of your mind. Probably they are not in the conscious mind, but still they are helping. So that's how you will be better prepared for the future situations. Otherwise, we think to plan them out. That's not working. Unexpected time, a unique situation will come. It won't be a copy. So what you can do is have the experiences, reflect and know how things happened and let go. Next time also you are going and facing with consciousness. Next time also you are failing. Again, reflect and let go. Again, a future time will come. This is the learning process. So gradually we are learning. You can see it is totally different from the book learning. In the book learning, we say, bring your attention to the breath. But when the situation is severe, you can't bring it, do it. You can see that the friend is there, but that friend is no use. It comes a difficult situation. You have to find more chorus ways of doing things. Right? So go for a break, go exercise. Those things are the solutions when it comes to them. That's why we should have certain hobbies like projects. The project is no use. But still, you have them because you can spend some time, you can sweat a little, you can distract yourself with that project. So that's the idea. Try to continue.
Sadhu, Bhante, sadhu. That's exactly, Bhante reconfirmed what I experienced. And now I feel when I meet that person again or have faced more further situations, I'm going prepared, and I'm more stronger, I feel. And also I've seen that how the emotion changed from a worse, horrible state now to, completely, it's not the same. I'm happier and I'm able to let go of that situation. So I've seen the change as well. And even the metta towards that person, which normally is a bit difficult for me after an argument, but all of a sudden I didn't feel anger anymore. So sadhu, Bhante, thank you. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Anupama. And we will wrap up today's session. With that, we are slightly over time, and I would like to share an associate all the merits accrued to Venerable Bhante for participating in today's session. We wish that these merits will have a positive impact, will create a positive impact on Bhante's own practice and for Bhante to advance in his own practice. Furthermore, we would like to share these merits with the Chief Abbot of the Nisaranavane Forest Monastery, Most Venerable Bhante Udayagiri Dhammajiva Mahatheru, and we wish him a good health and long life, and also that these merits will have a positive impact on Chief Panthe's advancement in the journey of mindfulness. And we have to mention the wonderful team of organizers who are behind this program, and we wish these merits will accrue to them as well. We share these merits with them and wish that their mindfulness journeys will prosper into the future. And we would also like to thank all of you who are attending the session through Zoom and also attending through the live stream. We wish these merits, we share these merits with you, and we wish that your own practices, endeavors in mindfulness training will enhance and improve, and that you will see benefits in a quick progress style. So with that, we are coming to the end of the session, and this program will run every Saturday at same time, and we would like to wish you a happy and mindful week ahead, and we will meet you same time next Saturday. And thank you for attending the session today. I will end the session now. Thank you.